Welcome to Washington Today on C-SPAN Radio for Tuesday, December 29th, 2020. Senate Democrats try to bring up a bill to increase coronavirus stimulus checks from $600 to $2,000, but they're blocked by Senate Republicans. And that leads to President Donald Trump's tweet, "Unless Republicans have a death wish, and it is also the right thing to do, they must approve the $2,000 payments ASAP." Senate also on track to vote this week on whether to override the president's veto of a $740 billion defense policy and programs bill. House has already voted to override. Vice President-elect Kamala Harris, the latest high-level politician to get vaccinated live on camera in an effort to increase public confidence in vaccine safety and effectiveness. And in what could be a last-ditch effort to overturn presidential election results and give the victory to President Trump instead of President-elect Joe Biden, a lawsuit filed against Vice President Mike Pence, who will preside next week when a joint session of Congress meets to count the electoral votes. We'll talk about it with a reporter from Politico. Now to the U.S. Senate, back in session for business for the first time since President Trump called for increasing economic stimulus checks to $2,000. Senate opened, as it always does, with a prayer from the Senate chaplain, Barry Black, who asked for God's blessings that senators be civil and recognize truth when they see it.
Let us pray. Prince of Peace, give us today your pardon and peace. Pardon the sins of our lips, the untrue and unkind words we have spoken. Pardon the sins of our minds, the ignoring of truth, and the refusal to face the facts. Pardon the sins of our hearts, the pride that makes us esteem ourselves as better than others and unwilling to forgive. Lord, place your peace within us that we may no longer be torn by the cares of this life. As the members of this body receive your peace, help them to live in unity with each other. We pray in your great name. Amen.
The Senate chaplain, retired Admiral Barry Black. The Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell then moved to bring up the president's veto of the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act, and Senator McConnell indicated he'll be voting to override.
Today, the Senate will set up a final vote for tomorrow, Wednesday, for this chamber to follow suit. Soon, this important legislation will be passed into law. President Trump has rightly noted that this year's defense bill does not contain every provision that we Republicans would have wanted. I'm confident our Democratic colleagues feel the same way. But that is the case every year. And yet, for 59 consecutive years and counting, Washington has put our differences aside, found common ground, and passed the annual defense bill. Not once in six decades has a Congress let its differences prevent it from completing this work for our national security and our men and women who wear the uniform. This year's NDAA will continue our momentum in rebuilding and modernizing our armed forces. It will authorize the personnel, equipment, tools, and training we need to reinforce the national defense strategy and to deter great power rivals like China and Russia. It will cement our advantage on the seas, on land, in the air, in cyberspace, and in space. And the bill will help us continue to recruit, retain, and support the men and women who keep us safe. It provides a pay raise for the troops, improvements for military housing, child care, and more. So, Madam President, for the brave men and women of the United States Armed Forces, failure is simply not an option. So when it's our turn in Congress to have their backs, failure is not an option either. I would urge my colleagues to support this legislation one more time when we vote tomorrow.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. After the U.S. House voted on Monday to override the president's veto of the NDAA, the president tweeted Tuesday morning, "Weak and tired Republican leadership will allow the bad defense bill to pass." Say goodbye to vital Section 230 termination. Your national monuments, forts, names, and treasures inserted by Elizabeth Pocahontas Warren, 5G, and our great soldiers being removed and brought home from foreign lands who do nothing for us. A disgraceful act of cowardice and total submission by weak people to big tech. Negotiate a better bill or get better leaders now. Senate should not approve NDAA until fixed. Those two tweets by President Donald Trump. Well, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell indicated the votes will be on Wednesday. He first tried to bring it up today, but that was objected to by the Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer. Senator Schumer tried to get another House bill passed, a House measure that passed up today. That's increasing coronavirus economic stimulus checks to $2,000. Senator Schumer joined by independent Senator Bernie Sanders, who caucuses with the Democrats. Senator Sanders at least wanted Senator McConnell to schedule a vote on those $2,000 checks.
Will Senate Republicans stand against the House of Representatives, the Democratic majority in the Senate, and the president of their own party to prevent these $2,000 checks from going out the door? We're about to get the answers to these questions. So now, Madam President, I ask consent to set the NDAA. Would the senator modify his request to include a unanimous consent request that the Senate proceed to the immediate consideration of H.R. 9051, a bill received from the House to increase recovery rebate amounts to $2,000 per individual, that the bill be read a third time and passed, the motion to reconsider be considered made and laid upon the table with no intervening action or debate?
Is there objection to the modification?
Object.
Objection is heard. Is there objection to the original request? The senator from Vermont.
Thank you, Madam President. Reserving the right to object, we should all be very, very clear. The working class of this country today faces more economic desperation than at any time since the Great Depression of the 1930s. And working families need help now, not next year, but right now. Last night, the House of Representatives, with a two-thirds majority, 275 to 134, two-thirds bipartisan vote, moved to increase the direct payment going to working families from $600 per adult to $2,000 per adult. The House did the right thing. I congratulate them. And now it is time for the Senate to step up to the plate and do what the working families of this country overwhelmingly want us to do. Madam President, as a result of the pandemic, tens of millions of Americans have lost their jobs and their incomes. These families in the middle of the winter now face the threat of eviction and the possibility of being thrown out in the streets. Hunger in America is at the highest level that it has been for decades, with moms and dads struggling to feed their kids and working families lining up mile after mile to get emergency food packages.
Senator Bernie Sanders, and before that, Senator Chuck Schumer on the Senate floor. The Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell objecting to their attempts to bring up the bill to increase stimulus checks or at least schedule a vote. President Trump reacting to Senator McConnell's objection by tweeting, "Unless Republicans have a death wish and it is also the right thing to do, they must approve the $2,000 payments ASAP. $600 is not enough. Also, get rid of Section 230, don't let big tech steal our country, and don't let the Democrats steal the presidential election. Get tough. In fact, Senator McConnell made a statement on the Senate floor saying he planned to push not only the $2,000 payments, but those other issues the president mentioned.
During this process, the president highlighted three additional issues of national significance which he would like to see Congress tackle together. First, as he explained, the president would like further direct financial support for American households. Second is the growing willingness on both sides of the aisle to at least re-examine the special legal protections afforded to technology companies under Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, including the ways it benefits some of the most prosperous, most powerful big tech firms. And the third subject, since every American, regardless of their politics, should feel the integrity of our democracy is beyond reproach, is exploring further ways to protect the sanctity of America's ballots while continuing to respect the federal government's limited role in standing behind state and local government who actually run elections. Those are the three important subjects the president has linked together. This week, the Senate will begin a process to bring these three priorities into focus.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. The Hill newspaper points out that the senator did not provide additional details about how he might bring the measures up, but tying those stimulus checks push to the Section 230 issue or to President Trump's unproven claims of widespread election fraud would almost certainly undermine Democratic support for such legislation. At the same time, several Republican senators are coming out in favor of the $2,000 direct payments, including both U.S. Senate runoff candidates, David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler. Senator Loeffler was on Fox News.
Senator Loeffler, I know in the previous couple of weeks, both you and your Republican colleague, David Perdue, have been proud of the stimulus relief bill, the coronavirus relief bill that was passed. President Trump wanted more, though. He wanted more than $600 checks going to Americans. He wanted to increase that amount to $2,000. That's been passed now in the House. It's going to go to the Republican-controlled Senate. So will you support that bill, that encouragement from the president, once it gets to the Senate?
Well, look. The president has fought for our country from day one. He continues to fight for every single American. I've stood by the president 100% of the time. I'm proud to do that. And I've said, absolutely, we need to get relief to Americans now, and I will support that. But look, here's the issue. Democrats have blocked relief time and again. That's why we're in this situation as a country. We've tried to pass that relief since this summer. Nancy Pelosi, Bernie Sanders, they've admitted that they held it up because they were playing politics with the lives of Georgians and all Americans around this election. And we have to hold Democrats accountable on January 5th because that's what's on the ballot. Who's going to fight for the American people? That's what David Perdue and I have been doing since day one, and we're going to continue to do that.
Senator Kelly Loeffler on Fox News. Some other Senate Republicans on record supporting an increase to $2,000 direct economic relief checks: Lindsey Graham, Josh Hawley, and Marco Rubio. And Deb Fisher says she's open to the idea. Also today, the Labor Department confirming that people getting enhanced unemployment benefits will not be missing a week of payments. It was originally feared that they would because President Trump signed the coronavirus relief bill on Sunday, but those two programs expired on Saturday. They were renewed for a time in that new law. Total coronavirus cases in the U.S. are over 19 million. Total deaths now 335,000 plus. Dr. Anthony Fauci of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases says the holiday travel period could make January even worse than December.
Well, it's just a question of we're in such a surge, as we call it, Jim, that has just gotten, you know, out of control in many respects. If you look at the history going back to the late winter, early spring of 2020, we had a surge in the late winter, early spring, another surge in the early summer. We're right now in a surge whose incline, whose inflection is very sharp when you see it. The numbers that you gave, you know, tell it all. We're in a very difficult situation. We never got down to a low baseline where you can actually control community spread by identification, isolation, and contact tracing. When you get to the numbers that we're in right now, it really is very, very difficult to do effective identification, isolation, and contact tracing. Some areas are doing it, but for the most part, as a whole, as a country, it really is sticking to the health, the public health guidelines that I've been talking about, that you've seen me on your own show talking about continuously, the simple things. We've got to keep doing it. Most important now, Jim, in this season, in addition to the travel, which is now too late because we're into the Christmas, New Year's holiday. The people who are going to travel have already traveled. We try to get people to just tone down the travel. For those who have already done the travel, the thing to do now is to try not to congregate with large numbers of people in social settings like dinners. Try to keep it restricted to the immediate family and the immediate household. Because once you get to large numbers of people at a dinner inside, poor air ventilation and circulation, that's when you get in trouble. And that's what we're concerned about, that in addition to the surge, we're going to have an increase superimposed upon that surge, which could make January even worse than December. I hope not. I hope that doesn't happen, but it certainly is possible.
Dr. Anthony Fauci on CNN. He also said that Operation Warp Speed will not reach its goal of having 20 million Americans get the first dose of a coronavirus vaccine by the end of this year. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says 11.5 million doses have been distributed and 2.1 million people have been vaccinated. This was as of Monday. President-elect Joe Biden also speaking about that today and about the rising cases and deaths and what early next year may look like.
First, things are going to get worse before they get better. In September, we passed a grim milestone, 200,000 deaths. At that time, in this very room, many of you remember, I warned that we hit 400,000 deaths before the end of the Trump administration in January. Critics said I was being too alarmist and negative. But as I've said all along, I will tell you like it is when it comes to COVID. And the reality is, it looks like that we're going to hit that grim milestone. We've just crossed 330,000 deaths in America. We're averaging daily death rates of nearly 2,200 people, which means we'll lose tens of thousands of more lives in the months to come. Hospitals are being stretched beyond capacity. And that's data before we see the impact of the cases coming from the recent holidays and this upcoming holiday of New Year's Eve. People getting infected today don't show up in cases for weeks. And those who persist, or excuse me, those who perish from the disease die weeks after initial exposure. So we have to anticipate that the infections over the holidays will produce soaring cases counts in January and soaring death tolls into February. You know, turning this around is going to take time. We might not see improvement until we're well into March, as it will take time for our COVID response plan to begin to produce visible progress. The second thing to know is the Trump administration's plan to distribute vaccines is falling behind, far behind. We're grateful to the companies, the doctors, the scientists, the researchers, the clinical trial participants, and Operation Warp Speed for developing the vaccines quickly. But as I long feared and warned, the effort to distribute and administer the vaccine is not progressing as it should. A few weeks ago, the Trump administration suggested that 20 million Americans could be vaccinated by the end of December. With only a few days left in December, we've only vaccinated a few million so far. And the pace of the vaccination program is moving now if it continues to move as it is now, it's going to take years, not months, to vaccinate the American people.
President-elect Joe Biden in Wilmington, Delaware, his home and transition headquarters. He has promised to administer 100 million coronavirus vaccine shots in his first 100 days in office. He'll be inaugurated on January 20th. Also inaugurated that day, Vice President-elect Kamala Harris, who is, for now, still a U.S. Senator from California. She was in Washington, D.C. for possible Senate floor votes, and she went to the United Medical Center to get vaccinated live on camera.
Thank you, Nurse Patricia. Thank you. Well, I want to thank United Medical Center for the work that you do in Southeast DC, serving a community that is often overlooked. So it is good to be here. And I have now been vaccinated, as Joe likes to say. There's a big difference between the vaccine and vaccinations. I want to encourage everyone to get the vaccine. It is relatively painless. It happens really quickly. It is safe. The Moderna, the Pfizer today, I had the Moderna vaccine. My husband is going to have it today as well. I look forward to getting the second vaccine. And literally, this is about saving lives. It's literally about saving lives. I trust the scientists. And it is the scientists who created and approved this vaccine. So I urge everyone, when it is your turn, get vaccinated. It's about saving your life, the life of your family members, and the life of your community. And so thank you, and let's all just do what we need to do to stay healthy and safe this holiday season and every day of the year. Thank you all.
Vice President-elect Kamala Harris at United Medical Center in Washington, D.C. That center serves residents in Wards 7 and 8, which represent the largest population of African-American residents in the city. Also today in the United Kingdom, 91-year-old Margaret Keenan, who was the first person in the world to get the first dose of the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine, has now become the first person to get the required second dose. Washington Today continues in a minute. Welcome back to Washington Today. A few more headlines. President Donald Trump is the most admired man in America, according to the annual Gallup survey. He pushed former President Barack Obama into the number two slot. Barack Obama had held the top spot for 12 years. Former First Lady Michelle Obama named most admired woman for the third year in a row in that survey, followed by Vice President-elect Kamala Harris. An American Airlines Boeing 737 MAX jet carrying paying passengers on a U.S. flight today for the first time since March 2019. The planes have been grounded worldwide after two deadly crashes highlighted safety problems. Southwest Airlines also has a large fleet of 737 MAX. They say they're going to hold off returning them to service. And in the latest federal government dietary guidelines for Americans, the Trump administration rejecting an external scientific advisory committee's recommendations that men should cut back on alcohol and that both men and women should further limit their intake of added sugars. From the Tennessean newspaper in Nashville, Tennessee elected officials asking President Donald Trump for federal assistance in the wake of Friday's downtown bombing, but 5 days later, the White House has yet to issue an emergency declaration. Federal Emergency Management Agency says that's not unusual. A FEMA spokesman said in an email, "We have received Governor Lee's request for an emergency declaration. The request is currently under review." Metro Nashville Police releasing body camera video from Officer Michael Sippos, one of the six officers who helped evacuate families. Here's part of it as he notices the RV that blew up is next to the AT&T building.
Well, in the meantime, I found out that that building that's next to is the building that houses all the hard lines for phones throughout the southeast.
Makes sense. Good spot to put a bomb.
Take a ride up on Tuesday.
Take a ride on Tuesday.
Minutes later, on December 25th, Officer Sippos attempting to open the trunk of his police vehicle when the explosion takes place. From December 25th, Christmas Day, the blast in Nashville wounding three people and killing the alleged bomber, 63-year-old Anthony Quinn Warner. Authorities say they still don't have a clear motive. Nashville Mayor John Cooper says that 2nd Avenue will look like a construction site in the months to come. He said Checking the structural integrity of the buildings was the first step in the process. One building has collapsed. On January 6th, there's going to be a joint session of Congress in Washington. Expected Vice President Mike Pence presiding to count the electoral votes from the presidential election in November. The count that states have certified would give Joe Biden the victory over Donald Trump. But a new lawsuit seeks to give Vice President Mike Pence the power to disregard those electors and instead recognize those favoring Donald Trump. The lawsuit has been filed by Republicans, including Kelly Ward, chair of the Arizona Republican Party, who posted this video.
Good morning, Arizona. It is time for the daily update from the Republican Party of Arizona. I am your chairwoman, Dr. Kelly Ward, and boy, we are causing quite a stir around the country. Our 11 electors with Congressman Louis Gohmert have filed suit against the vice president in the Eastern District of Texas. Now, a lot of people are like, why are you filing against the vice president? We love Vice President Mike Pence. We love him. And this is what's known in Democrat circles as a friendly lawsuit. Look up all the friendly lawsuits that happened during the election, leading up to the election, where groups like Mi Familia Vota sued Secretary of State Katie Hobbs in order to get what they both wanted. Well, what we all want here is election integrity, Vice President Mike Pence included, and we want to give him the tools necessary to be able to do that. I'm also very happy that 20 of our representatives, our state reps, have signed on to a resolution supporting this lawsuit, and we are going before a Trump-appointed judge who's been on the bench since 2018 in this capacity. So what this lawsuit does is it sets out plain and clear that the Constitution takes precedent over statute. So the founders had this in mind. They can't and couldn't, and we can't and couldn't allow fraudulently certified electors to be sent to Washington, D.C. and be counted in a presidential election. It is plain. The 12th Amendment states that the vice president, and solely the vice president, has the duty to count legally and legitimately cast electoral votes. He could decide to look at both slates that have been sent in from the seven contested states. He could say none of those electoral votes count. It's all on the shoulders of Vice President Mike Pence, and we have this lawsuit to assist him in being able to do his job and to do it well. I urge you to keep Vice President Pence in your prayers and keep our country in your prayers, because I can tell you, I for one, and I know you, we are not giving up. We are going to keep Arizona great, we're going to keep America great, and we're going to keep fighting for election integrity. See you tomorrow.
Kelly Ward, Arizona Republican Party chair, in a posted video. And joining us now with more on this lawsuit is Kyle Chaney, congressional reporter with Politico. Thanks for being with us. Before we get to the details of the suit, who else is filing the suit?
So the suit was brought by Republican lawmaker Representative Louis Gohmert, who's from Texas, and he joined with Arizona's full slate of Republican electors, at least those were designated to be electors by President Trump, but were not ultimately electors because Biden won Arizona. So they are suing now to try to change that result.
Well, what specifically are they looking to do?
So it's actually a fairly fascinating suit, not one that I'm seeing much credence for in the legal community, but it basically suggests that when Congress meets on January 6th to count the electoral votes, which they're required to do, the law that governs how that process works is invalid. And in fact, Mike Pence, who will be presiding over that session, both constitutionally and by law, has complete unilateral power to count whichever votes he deems worthy of being counted from any particular state. So if he decides himself that, no, actually the Republican electors from Arizona are the ones that we should be counting, he gets to be the one to introduce them in the congressional session. So it would really be a shocking overhaul of the way the process has worked for over a century. But it's what they're claiming in this lawsuit is what should happen.
You say that it's not getting much credence from the legal community. Do you know if a federal court or the Supreme Court has ever weighed in on something like this before?
I'm not sure about anything like this. That we're in these. This is sort of a theme in the Trump era where some of these sort of dusty, creaky processes that never really get tested are being tested in ways that we've never seen before. So I don't think any court has really considered the outer limits of, the Electoral Count Act, which is the law we're talking about here that governs the counting process. There's been all sorts of issues surrounding electors in the past, but they've never been determinative of the outcome of an election, which is why some of these pushes are so shocking, because they really attempt to overturn the results of the election, not just tool around on the margins.
You write, though the lawsuit itself is unlikely to gain legal traction, it does put Pence in the position of having to either contest the suit or support it, and in either case, he may have a problem. Has there been any reaction from the vice president yet?
No, his office has been very quiet. We've been asking for a couple of days now, just even before the suit, to get a sense of how he's going to handle this whole joint session of Congress. But even since the suit, we've tried to reach him, and there's nothing. They're keeping their cards very close. And yes, that's why I think it's so interesting that even if the suit doesn't matter legally, Pence may have to weigh in, even just to have the Justice Department fight against it or decide he doesn't want to fight against it, which will tell us a lot about his mentality going into it.
You also write about even if this lawsuit doesn't work out for Republicans, they have one more chance to challenge the election results on January 6th, and Gohmert may be a part of that. Can you explain?
Yes. So the Electoral Count Act and the procedures that have been traditionally used do provide for a challenge process where one House member and one senator joining together can basically challenge any electoral votes. Now, that's unlikely to matter to the outcome here because we know a number of Republican senators are already on board with Biden as president-elect. They're not going to go along with these challenges, but it would cause a lengthy debate, lengthy floor fight in both the House and Senate that would have to be resolved before they can finalize Biden's victory.
And finally, in your article at Politico.com, we're talking with Kyle Cheney, congressional reporter, you raise the possibility that Vice President Mike Pence might not preside over the counting of the electoral votes. Can he do that? Has it ever been done before?
He can. It has been done before. And I'm drawing a blank on the exact year, but when that has happened in the past where a vice president has opted out of presiding, the Senate president pro tem can preside. And that in this case would be Chuck Grassley, who would fill that role. It's very rare. And I think Pence has given every indication he intends to preside, but he's in such a tricky political spot that it wouldn't be crazy to think he might ultimately decide to bow out.
Kyle Cheney, congressional reporter with Politico. Read more at Politico.com. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for having me.
On Wall Street today, Dow was down 68, NASDAQ down 49, S&P down 8. Thanks for being with us on Washington Today, which is available as a podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And download the free C-SPAN radio app to listen on the go. Hope you have a good evening.